This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome back, Silver and Black. Today, an Odyssey original podcast, also over the air in Las Vegas on 98.5 The Fan. And if you're in the middle of the night, you stayed out too long in Vegas, you're trying to roll home from the casino, we are also on 11:40 a.m. The Bet at 4 a.m. Pacific. That's early enough. I get up on the East Coast and I can actually listen. But anyway, thanks to that, I appreciate you guys listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast anywhere you can. All you have to do is search Silver and Black today and you will find us, including you can do it on your smart speaker at home. Just say, hey, Alexa, play Silver and Black today. And boom, we are there on your device. By the way, we have to give congratulations. Josh Jacobs was named the FedEx Ground Player of the Week. Of course, his 229 yards on 33 carries. Did that as well. $2,000 donation from FedEx in Josh Jacobs' name to historically black college or university of his choice. And that goes towards the needs-based scholarships for deserving HBCU students. So congratulations to that as well. And Jets quarterback Mike White, Mo, was named the Air NFL Player of the Week. Amazing. He comes in and plays instead of the first round draft pick and he wins the FedEx award the first year he's in there. Mo's in New York, if you guys, for those of you who are new and listening, so he knows the Jets situation really well.
Yeah, he is the king of the tri-state area right now.
I was gonna say,
guys, people are chanting Mike White. Anytime you go out to a crowded area, there are Jets fans. They are rooting on Mike White. They have already forgotten about Zach Wilson and his draft position. They don't care. The Jets just want to win games. The reason I like to interact with Jets fans is because they're very similar to Raiders fans. They may not have like the decorated Hall of Famers that the Raiders have, but right now they're clamoring for something to cheer for and win. They want to win playoff games, and I feel like the Raiders are in that same mode where proud organization, proud fan base, just wants to win no matter who the quarterback is.
And until recently, they had to watch for decades as the Giants were pretty good. So I can't even imagine, you know, it's like akin to Raiders fans watching the 49ers because it's not fun. I still don't get how the Jets being in New York City can be so bad for so long, but that's a whole different story for a different conversation. Speaking of fans, I'm glad you said that because we saw a survey come out and I wanted to see this, a nationwide survey. Now, I can't give you the veracity of this survey. It comes from NJ Bet, which is New Jersey Bet, which there's an Ohio Bet. This company, the betting company is all over the place, but they ranked the top five most rude fans in the NFL, Mo. And number one is no surprise, and I don't have to read a survey to know this because I've experienced it, and that is the Eagle fans. Shout out to our friends in Philly. By the way, the Philly podcast, the Eagle podcast, is ahead of us. We're number three. They're number one. So we have a little bit of a competitive nature with that one. But Philadelphia fans in general, I've been around them. I've been to Eagles games. I've been to Phillies games, and it's a rough go.
I'm close to them being in New York City, so I'm not that far. Last time I went to Philadelphia, I remember there were some rowdy Phillies fans, actually, that I was close to. I was around in my vicinity, but weren't rude to me, but I could see like their attitude toward other people, outsiders. I had my Yankee hat on at the time.
Yeah.
I'm a Mets fan, but I wear the Yankee cap for fashion. Just putting that out there.
Like your Nets hat?
Yeah, like my Nets hat today that everyone accused me of wearing a Nets hat. It is not a Nets hat, people. Just full disclosure, this is a Brooklyn snapback. It has nothing to do with the New Jersey Nets. The colors are very similar. Yes, the colors are identical. I get it, but it's not the Brooklyn Nets.
And not only that, Mo, and I'm sorry to interrupt your point there, but when you go to New York City, for those of you who have not been to New York City, there's hats like this for every different borough and neighborhood.
Right.
Like you can find them everywhere. Yeah.
Right. If you come to New York City, you've seen this hat. You've probably seen it in different colors. A lot of people wear it in all black. Some people have it in a navy blue color, like the Yankees cap. But you'll see one for Brooklyn. You'll see one for the Bronx, Queens. It's just a borough thing. It's not a sports team thing.
Right. Exactly. So we'll make that clear. But so the Eagles, number one. Number two, your Las Vegas. You, Raider Nation, are the second most rude fan base, according, not from me, I'm not saying that, from njbet.com. Dallas Cowboys, number three. I believe that because Cowboy fans, overall, I've met most Cowboy fans I've met are really obnoxious. They've never even been to Dallas. They've never even been to a Cowboy game. It's really weird. The Cowboy fans from Texas that I've met have always been very nice, by the way. New England Patriots, number four. That comes with winning all those rings. And number five, the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Mo, the Raiders, number two. Do you know why they say they're the most rude fans? The rudest behavior, what the behavior is? Starting fights.
Oh gosh. I kind of hate that because that's the kind of brand image that Raiders fans get. And I think it's it is undeserving because anytime you think Raiders fans unruly, you think people fighting in the stands, right?
Right.
But when you go on Twitter, go on social media right now, you'll see fans of any fan base doing this. I remember when the Phoenix Suns guy punched a guy out. And it was all they turned it into a meme or a joke. The Suns in five or 3-1, something like that. But Phoenix Suns fans punches a guy, knocks him out, and the Suns win the game. And it was cool for that. But when you mention Raiders fans and unruly and just being rude, you think, oh, all Raiders fans fight in the stands and all this other stuff. And fans have been trying to separate themselves from that image. So it's kind of just I expect that.
Well, and not only that, but it's sort of, they're obviously doing a survey. And so the brand of Raider Nation from a fan perspective is that, and I agree, it's unfair. And some of the reasoning behind the other is Dallas Cowboys are considered the third most rude because they heckle too much. What? Heckle too much? How, that's rude? That's part of being a fan, is it not? How can fans be rude for heckling? I don't
you
get
know
that.
What though, you know what though, you know what I find interesting about that survey. You notice three of the teams are on the East Coast.
Uh huh.
I was at the Bleacher Report office a month ago, and one of my colleagues tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "You know, when you go to a game on the West Coast, it's a lot different than going to a sports game on the East Coast." He said, "The East
no
Coast,
question.
The fans are a lot more intense."
Yep.
And he said, "I've experienced going on games on both coasts." And he said, "The West is pretty chill. Of course, you have rowdy people in every group."
Sure.
But he said it on the East. And even he said it. He said, "When you go to a Philadelphia sports team game, forget about it. Those fans, they don't, it's truly a lifestyle out there. They do not play with their sports teams."
Yes. And my favorite one on here, the favorite, actually a couple of them, was the Green Bay Packers number six, which is surprising because there's a lot of Packer fans, right?
Yeah.
But I've never really run into any rude ones, to be honest with you. Now, back when they were a little more competitive, maybe so. But with Packer fans at number six and the Bills fans at number nine, the rude behavior is they get too drunk. Which I just thought was hysterical because it's like same with Cleveland Brown fans, New Orleans Saints fans in New Orleans. But anyway, so and I think that's the thing with Raider fans too, Mo. Like our good friend Wayne Mabry, the Violator. They, you know, the super fans who dress up. Some of them look intimidating, and I think that reflects. People take that and say, "Oh, they must be rude, or they must start a lot of fights, or whatnot." And so that unfair caricaturization of Raider Nation shows up in polls like this. And it's really interesting, too, even after the move to Las Vegas, where the fan base is very mixed and it's still trying to kind of find its identity within Allegiant Stadium.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But you know what? Wayne is a very cool dude.
He was tall, such a sweet guy.
Yeah, like, you've had him on the show, I believe, when we were on another show together. We had Wayne on, and he spoke to us, and he was very down-to-earth guy. Very nice dude. Follows me on Twitter. I follow him back. Great guy. Looks can be deceiving. Don't judge a book by its cover, but I get it. The point is, when you dress up that way, as Wayne and a lot of other fans do, is to be intimidating when you walk into that stadium, to intimidate the opponent, and that's the point of it. That's the point of being a fan. So I think people just have to separate the fan from the person. But, of course, they don't know these fans, so they're, you know, just going by the cover.
Well, and I think too, Raider fans, because I always explain this to people when I meet people since I'm further east now, and they, oh, you do a Raider show and you covered the team in Las Vegas and all that kind of stuff. I say, yeah. Well, and they start asking me about the fans because they say, well, oh man, it always looks like there's rough and all this and all that. And I always tell them the story too, that Raider Nation is a culture, first of all. Now, there are fan bases that are great fans. I mean, Buffalo Bills fans are great fans. Good example. Okay. Is it a culture? Somewhat. They have a tailgate culture, all that. But Raider Nation is unto itself a very different group of people. It's people from all walks of life. It's, to me, the diversity of that group. And I'm not talking about just Latino and African American white folks. I'm talking diversity from where they come from, background wise. You got bikers, you got blue collar guys, you got really wealthy folks. And so it creates this really interesting mix of people. And I remember as a kid, and I've always talked about it on the show, having grown up in San Diego as a Chargers fan as a kid. And I remember one time, and this is what cemented when I was a young guy, and I used to make fun of Raider fans, by the way. Sorry, folks, I did. And I went to a Charger Raider game. They used to always bring in metal detectors for the Raider games. Like, they didn't have them for the rest of them. Not that there was any big deal. Now, one year there was a stabbing, but that was an outlier. So it was like almost like the expectation was there were going to be people there who were going to be doing lawlessness, even though there was no reason for that. So they did that. So I was at a game. I was a kid. I was in high school, I think. And I'm sitting there, and this Raider fan walks up, and he's got jersey on, and he's got one of those plastic, like, kids helmets, you know, like we used to wear when we were kids. You could get in the Sears catalog and all that. Raiders helmet. And the guy had the little teardrop, so he'd obviously been inside, right? And he was a Latino guy. And he comes up, and it's mostly Charger fans in the section I'm in, and kind of upper deck area. And he comes up in the front of the section, and he just stands there, and he starts flipping everybody off. And he takes the helmet, and he starts beating it against his head. He did this for a full quarter. Okay. So when I was young, yeah, it was crazy. Now, that's one guy. That's not representative of Raider Nation, of course. But it was like, oh my gosh, what is going on with this guy? And even the ushers didn't want to deal with the guy, right? Because we're in the upper deck, we're in the cheap seats, and so nobody cared. But I think things like that, one person sees that, and suddenly that's Raider Nation, when we know that's not true. I mean, we have Murph on our show on Sunday. He does the One Nation Foundation for the Biletnikoff Foundation and all the money. I mean, they raised 10 grand. That fan base, Raider Nation, what they do for one another, if somebody in Raider Nation passes away, people help out with cost. You have people who are struggling because they're out of work. Raider Nation steps up and helps. It doesn't matter where they're at. So it's really an unfair characterization to put them. And Ken, these polls are all just for clicks and stuff like that because they're trying to get people to sign up for their betting app. But nonetheless, I don't say it just because I'm throwing red meat, Mo, but Raider Nation as a fan base, as much as they can drive me crazy sometimes with hating on each other, by the way, the infighting, I've never met a fan base that's more passionate and more loyal than they are.
I'll say this. I've written for different teams, or I should say I cover different teams across the league. I would like to just ask, where are the Ravens ranked on that list? Because Ravens fans are very adamant. They're very protective of their team. If I wrote anything negative about the Ravens, I would get Ravens fans in my DM saying, "You don't know what you're talking about, you idiot. How dare you?" They're very loud on Twitter.
Yeah, so they rank 13th, which is ironic because it's the Baltimore Ravens. And their issue is starting fights too, apparently.
They do it on social media. I'm friends with maybe two Ravens fans because I know some people in the DC, in the DMV area, and they're cool with me. But the Ravens fans who don't know me very well, anytime I said anything negative about, you know, Lamar Jackson, if I criticize the coaching or anything, they will come after you. Also, Giants fans are pretty mild mannered. I've grew up around Giants fans. Yeah. They're not as I would say loud, or they don't make a big stink because they're kind of reflective of the organization. The Giants are looked at as like a blue blood proper organization. Their fans kind of reflect that, where they're not too rowdy.
Yeah, they rank 8th actually on this list.
That's surprising.
It says they heckle too much, which, yeah, I've never had any issues with Giants fans or seen them. Detroit Lions fans are 15th. Charger fans, I guess they have some, are 21st. Vikings 20s. People in Minnesota are really nice. Like, hey, how you doing? They don't really fight with people. And then the rest of them, Broncos fans, I would actually argue that Broncos fans are pretty rude the times I've encountered them. So and then Cardinal fans, Houston, and then Jacksonville Jaguars, all 6 of them. But that's one. Jaguars are going to be good next year, by the way.
I think so too.
But yeah, so that's that list that we just wanted to go over, because I don't think it's right when Raider Nation gets an image. Now, maybe that image is going back to the mid late 80s, early 90s with the hip hop connection and the NWA stuff. And so people think that's what it is, which we know it's not. So very interesting stuff. But we just wanted to talk about that. We thought it'd be fun for this Thursday. We're going to head off to our next break here. When we come back, we are going to talk about the game coming up against the Chargers. That's right. So make sure you don't go anywhere. We'll come back. We'll talk about the game. What do the Raiders need to do? The Raiders have a really huge advantage in this game. We'll talk about how they can expose that and how this game, to me, is a really big one. Yes, even at 4-7, it's a division game, but also just continuing to put the streak together here and getting positive momentum for Las Vegas and Coach Josh McDaniels. This is Mo. This is Scott. We are Silver and Black today on Odyssey. We'll be back right after this message. Don't go anywhere.